Daf is Daf Chav Gimel. So we got to the bottom of Chav Beis and Beis. We just finished the Mishnah together yesterday. And the Gemara now wants to know that my Mashma Demasin, five lines up, my Mashma Demasin Lishna Diyakadu. What's the basis that when the Mishnah said the word Masin referenced a some type of fire? What's the basis? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Dichsev Vayisom David Vanashav Umitagaminon Vokadinon David with a Lashon Vayisom that he lifted up. The Targum says it refers to he lit a fire. So here as well, Lashon Masin Maso. This is referring to lighting fires. So Gemara now says, Tani Rabbanon Ein Masin Masos Ela Ala Chodesh Shinir Bizmano Lekadsho Ve'emasai Masin Lor Iburu. So the din would be they'd only light the fire. There wouldn't be every single Rosh Chodesh. Only if it was a Rosh Chodesh of a Chaser, where the Mekadesh HaChodesh on day 30. In other words, where day 30 was really day 1. It was only a 29-day month. And the next day was going to be Rosh Chodesh. So what would happen would be, was whoever saw the moon would come the next day on day 1. And that evening, which is going to day 2 now, is when they light the fire. Which again, according to the count from the previous month, would be day 31. Remember, it's day 29 days. Day 30, they saw the moon, and night of 31 is when they would show the fire, which would, in essence, really be day 2 of the next moon, of the next month. So it would be, again, only for Kiddush HaChodesh, not Ibur HaChodesh, for Kiddush HaChodesh, and that evening, the Leil Ibur, is when they light the fire. But if it were to be a Male month, a full month of 30 days, and then day 31 would be day 1 of the next month, in that situation, they would not light the fires. Why not? So Gemara explains all this. Lemeimer, this is to suggest, the achaser avdinan amale lo avdinan. They would only make it on the missing month, the 29-day month, but they wouldn't make it on the male. I made a mistake. The Or Ibor meant the night of the into the 31st. Yeah. So the Gemara now says Amar Rabbi Zera, my time. What's the reason for this? Only on a chaser, not on a male. So Amar Rabbi Zera, Gzera mishim rosh chodesh chaser shechalios be'erev Shabbos. So let's say day 29 falls out on Friday. I mean, Shabbos is day 30 and Sunday is day 31. So it falls out on 29. What would happen would be, let's say it's a new month. So what would happen, Amasai Avdi, when would they light the fire? They couldn't do it Friday night, obviously. They have to wake Bafuke Shabbos until Mate Shabbos to light the fire. Now, the problem with this would be, is Mate Shabbos because it's a Mala, it's really a 30-day month, and day 1, 31 is Rosh Chodesh, or really it was a 29-day month, they just couldn't light it Friday night because it was Shabbos, so they pushed it off a day. So it gets confusing. Because the Amis, if you were to say, Navi Nami Amale, if they were to light the fires, whether it was a Chaser month or even a Male month, then Asli Mitai, it would be very confusing to the people why they're lighting Mate Shabbos. They would say, either Amri, Hai Chaser, who really it was a 29-day month, the reason why they didn't light it Friday night on day 30 is because it was Shabbos, they couldn't, they had to push it off a day, or maybe Odilma Malihu Ubismanu Avdei, or maybe really it was in Mali, a 30-day month, and they're lighting Mata Shabbos because tonight's actually Av, tonight's Rosh Chodesh. So if that were to be the case, Mali and Chaser both had the lighting of the fires, in a situation like that we just presented, it would be very confusing, which would be the Rosh Chodesh. So therefore they said, never make it on a Mali, only make it on a chaser. So the Gemara says, wait a second. V'l'avde bein amale bein achaser. Maybe you could have the following suggestion. Maybe in general, they should always make the light the fires, whether it's a chaser month or a male month. V'chi mikle rosh chodesh be'erev Shabbos. In a situation like we just suggested, where it's a 29 day, the 29th day is on Friday, lo lave klal, don't do it at all. Don't light any fire that rosh chodesh. V'chaven de lo avdinan, since no fire was lit, b'matzei Shabbos, v'avdinan amale, and normally they would make on amale, miyad yada, everybody would know, it's the chaseru. So that would be the suggestion. Meaning in this situation, why aren't they light tonight, matzei Shabbos? It must be, it's not amale, it was really a chaser, and they couldn't light yesterday because it's Friday night, so in a situation where there's no fire lit, they assume it was a chaser in this case. But in a regular month, where the falls out during the week, they should light it if it's a chaser or if it's a male. So the Gemara says, afil hachi, even in this suggestion that's being made, asil mitai, there could still be confusion. Because Amri, they would say, really, hi malehu. Really, it was a 30-day month. And really, they were supposed to light the fire on Mate Shabbos. V'haidil avdi, why didn't they light Mate Shabbos? It's nusi, hey, that's nusi. They were at an onus. What was the onus? Rashi says they got drunk from Shabbos. They ate a lot, they drank a lot. They got very drunk, and no one had a chance to light the fire of Mate Shabbos. They were supposed to. So even though this may have been a situation where no fire was lit, they're not going to necessarily assume it was a chaser month, and because of Friday night they couldn't light it. Maybe it was a Malay month, and they're supposed to light a month of Shabbos, but they got too drunk. So the Gemara then says, "Ula'avid a Malay v'lo la'avid a chaser." Klal. So maybe so. If now we accept that only one situation can have the fire, either chaser or Malay, can be both. So right now we're assuming the chaser month gets the fire, not the Malay. But why not flip it around? Maybe the Malay month should get the fire and not the chaser month. So Amar Abaye says, "Mishum bitul malacha la'am shnei yamim," because it's going to cause the people to miss 2 days of work. Why 2 days of work? Because Rosh Hashanah, that means if you're not going to light it until the Malay, so Rosh Hashanah, you're going to have to wait a full day to, everyone knows day one, you can't do Malacha, because today might be Rosh Hashanah. Right? It's a 29-day month Elul. Day 30, you practice as Rosh Hashanah, because maybe it's going to be a day one, and maybe it's not, maybe it's going to be a 30-day month, and tomorrow is going to be Rosh Hashanah. So if you wait until a Malay, you're never going to find out whether it's a Malay or Chaser until 2 days are over. That means you're always going to keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But if you do it on the Chaser, so it's possible if this year were a Chaser year, where it's a 29-day month, and the next day I keep Rosh Hashanah, and then light the fires, I know, oh, tomorrow isn't Rosh Hashanah, and you would only have to keep a 1 day of Rosh Hashanah. Look how Rashi says this. Rashi writes here, Amar Abaye, Mishum Bitum Lacha, V'lo Garsin and Gzeira. Now, Iyamis, if you were to suggest, Navid Amale V'lo Chaser, if we only light the fire on the Malay, the 30-day month, not on the 29-day month, Ein Lacha Rosh Hashanah, there will never be a Rosh Hashanah where they're not mevatel from both days. In the positive, there always have to be mevatel for 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Yom Shloshim, Shema Hayom Rosh Hashanah, V'yom Shloshim V'echad, Shema Ibru Esachodesh V'yom Rosh Hashanah. 2 days. Aval ki avdinan ma'asals achaser. But if they were to light the fires on the chaser months, L'or Yom Shloshim on the night of the 30th, which would be into day one, Yada Shiba Yom Shloshim Nikva V'yasam Lacha L'macha. They know, oh, today is not day 30, today is really day one, and tomorrow, day two, it's not Rosh Hashanah, they could do work. This was all, again, only the case in the situation where they lit the fires. Now where the shluchim and everything like that, now this is not really relevant, but the times where they lit the fires, there's a possibility that people in the Gola would only keep 1 day. But if, again, you have to wait until the Malay to light the fire, they wouldn't know until it's too late. So in order to save that they shouldn't have to keep 2 days of Yantif every single year, that's why they did on Chaser and not on Malay. Now, Tosis argues on this. Tosis says it's not the case. He thinks it's not referring to Bitam Lacha of Shei Yamim of Rosh Hashanah. He says it's referring to 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. And he brings from the Gemara that practice was not to work on Rosh Chodesh. That's one of the reasons why. How many aliyahs are there on a regular weekday? There are 3 aliyahs, like we had 3 aliyahs today. On Chol HaMoed Rosh Chodesh, there are 4 aliyahs. Why are there 4 aliyahs? We could have an extra aliyah because it's not going to dip into the work. People are not going to work on Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed. That's why you have an extra aliyah. So we see from there that people did not work on Rosh Chodesh. So if it's a 2 day Rosh Chodesh, that means 2 days in a row they're not going to be working. So for Rosh Chodesh, he said, let's only do it on the Chaser, not on the Malay. So now the Gemara says, Ketan Hayu Masin Masals Mevin Kolonto. So we said in the Mishnah, they bring some type of cedar wood. So now the Gemara describes it in great depth about what type of cedar wood was used. So Amar Rav Yehuda says, Arba Mine Arazim Hain. There are 4 types of cedar trees. Erez, Kastrom, Eit Shemen Uvrosh. These are 4 types of Erez trees. Kastrom, Amar Rav, Adra, I don't know what these mean. And it's a type of tree called the Adra tree. Maybe the Adra tree we saw in Maseches Beitza. Debe Rabbi Shila Amre Mavliga it was called. Amrila others say it was called the Zu Gulmesh. Different names for the Kastrom tree. Upliga the Rabba Bar Rafuna. He argues, although Rav Huda said there were 4 types of Arazim, Rabba Bar Rafuna says, Dama Rabba Ravuna Amr Beirava Asara Mine Arazim Haim. There are actually 10 types of cedar trees. Shinemar says in the Pasuk, Etain Bamidbar, Erez Shita Vahadas, V'eit Shemin Asim, Barava Barosh Tidar, Usasha Yachtav, you count, it ends up being 10. So Gemara says, Erez is Arza, Shita is Trunisa tree, the Hadas is the Asa tree, V'eit Shemin is the Afarsima, Barosh Barasa, Tidar is Shaga, and Tashur is the Shur Rivna tree. So Gemara says, wait a second, if you count them, it's not 10. Honey Shiva Havu, the Pasuk only mentions 7 of them, not 10. So ki also Rav Dimi Amar Hosifa Alein, they added Alonim, Almonim, and Almugim are a total of 10 types of trees. So Alonim is Butmi, which they call an elm tree. Almonim is Baluti, are oak trees, and Almugim are Kasisa, are coral trees. Okay, these are 10 types of Arazim trees. So Ikadami, others say Aronim, Armonim Almugim, different names. Aronim is the Ari, which are called laurel trees. Armonim is Dulve, which are chestnuts. And Almugim are Kasisa, which are coral trees. So now the Gemara now quotes a pasuk. This is the same pasuk mentioned before about the cedar trees. So it says in that pasuk, "Vitzir Adir Lo Yavrenu," and the big ship will not pass through this. What's it referring to? So it's referring to the times of the Mashiach. There's going to be a stream of water that's going to emerge from the Kodesh Kedashim. As it gets further from the Kodesh Kedashim, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and really big, so big that even a large ship won't be able to pass through this. So what type of ship are we referring to that can't pass through this river? So Amar Rava, Zo Borni Gedola, a very large ship. Heichi Avdi, what type of, what was the purpose, what was the usage of this type of big ship? So the Gemara explains that Maisi Shis Alfe Gavre Betreser Yarche Shata. They would take 6,000 people over 12 months. Amrile, others say, Treser Alfe Gavre Beshisa Yarche Shasa. Others say, 12,000 people over 6 months. Vutanu Lochala Ad Jeshachna. And they'd throw and add a load, salt into it, a sand rather into it, until the ship would sink to the bottom of the ocean, or the sea, wherever it was. It wasn't too deep, Rashi says. Vunachas Bar Amarai. Then they'd have a diver go down where the ship was had sunk. Vekater Atune the Kisna the Kasisa. They tie a rope on the coral on the bottom of the sea. Vekatelu Besvita and tie the other end to the boat that's now sunk. So you have the boat attached to the coral reef there. Vunat Lachala, and then they start taking out the sand. Veshadu Lavara and throw it out off the ship. Vekama Demidle Akra Amasa, and as the ship would begin to float because the sand would be removed, it would start ripping up the coral. And this way, you'd be able to collect the coral. The coral was very expensive, very, very beneficial. Umachlev al-chad trei b'kaspa. It was worth, each measure was worth 2 mounts of silver. Okay, it was a good, it was a valuable purchase. And tlas parvas and havya, there were 3 different ports where they bring this to. Tarte bay arma, 2 were in the Armenian area. V'chada de bay parsa, 1 in the Persian area. The Bay Aramai, the area in the Armenian area, Maskin and Kasisa, they bring up the coral. And the Bay Parsa, Maskin and Marganisa, they bring up pearls in doing this. They, I don't know, they tie it to pearls in the bottom of the ocean. U Mikarya Parvasa, Dimashmig, and he called the port of the kingdom the Persian port because it had all these pearls at the bottom. That's what a large ship was used in order to somehow, that's how they get the things, the treasures at the bottom of the ocean. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yochanan would say, Koshita Vashita, Shinatlu Nachum, a different topic, but based on the same pasuk. Kol Shita Veshita, Shinatlu Nachum Yishalayim. Every tree that the Nachum took and stole from Yishalayim, Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachzirin La, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to return them to us. Shinemar Etain Bamidbar Erez Shita. I'm going to place back in that which they made into a midbar. I'm going to replant and replace the trees. Vein Midbar El Yishalayim, it's a reference to Yishalayim. Shinemar Tzion Midbar Ha'isa. So it's referring to not the midbar, but Yishalayim, which was perhaps treated as a midbar, and he'll return the trees and make it full again. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Further, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Kol ha lo made the Torah v'ena malanda. Those who learn but don't teach the Torah is doma lahadas b'midbar. It's like a hadas in the midbar. No one could smell, no one could appreciate the smell of the hadas because no one's there. So if you're learning, that's fantastic. But if you're not sharing the wealth, if you're not sharing the Torah, that's like a hadas in the midbar, which is worthless. Ikadami. Others say, "Kol ha lo made umilamdo." A person who learns and teaches where there's no other Talmud Chacham, he steps up to the plate where there's a great need, where there's a need for a Rebbe and a teacher, then that's like a Hadas in the Midbar, meaning if a person chances upon, he stumbles upon a Hadas in the Midbar, that's a great find because nothing is in the Midbar. If you see a Hadas in the Midbar, the worth, the value is so great. So a person who's teaching in a place where it's like a Midbar, where there's no one else teaching, that's actually a wonderful thing. So the two Ikadamis, whether Hadas in the Midbar is a good thing or Hadas in the Midbar is a bad thing. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oy lahem la'ovdei chachamim, woe to them, to the non-Jews, she'ein lahem takana, there's no remedy for them, she'nemar says, tachas ha'nechoshes avizav, in the place of the copper, I'm going to bring gold, the tachas ha'barzel avikesef, in place of the brass, I'm going to bring, or the iron, I'm going to bring silver, the tachas ha'etim nechoshes, and under, in place of the wood, copper, and tachas ha'vanim barzel. So what does that mean? So tachas Rabbi Akiva v'chaveira of Maya Mivian. So in place of all these different materials, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could replace the silver with gold and whatnot. But in place of Rabbi Akiva and his chaveirim and all the other harugim malchus who the goyim killed, murdered terribly. So them, who's going to be in place of them? V'aleim amar v'nikesu damam lo nikesu. I'm not going to cleanse them. I'm not going to offer them kapar because those great tzaddikim are irreplaceable. So then the Gemara says, back to the topic of the Masos, So the Gemara says, "Mine how you masin masuos." When we base Baltim, one of the areas that they'd light the fire was an area called Base Baltim. So my Base Baltim, where was this location? I'm a Rav going on to my base now. Zu Biram is an area called Biram. My Gola, another location. I'm a Rav Yosef, Zu Pumpadisa. So my Kimiduras HaEsh, what does it mean they light up like a big bonfire in the Mishnah? What does that mean? Satana, Kol Echad V'Echad, Notel Avuka B'Yodah. Every person in the Gola would take a bonfire and they'd follow the Rosh Hagagah and go into this rooftop, not only in the mountaintops, but even every single rooftop, and they'd hold the bonfire back and forth, and the whole area, the whole horizon at night would look like a one big bonfire. Tani, the Brisa says that Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Af Charim V'Chayar V'Gedar V'Charoseh. Other mountains that had the fire on top were these mountains as well. Ikidami, others say, Beini Uveini Havakaima. Some say that these mountains located were in between the points mentioned in the Mishnah. And Ikidami, others say, Lahachi Sadarit Yisrael Havakaima. Others say, no, they're actually not on the same line as those listed in the Mishnah, but they're actually on the other end, the other side of Eretz Yisrael. Mar Chashav the High Gisa. One thought that those listed are those on the same side of that, those listed in the Mishnah. The other ones are on the other side of those listed in the Mishnah. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan says further now, Bein Kalachas V'Achas Shmona Parcels. Between each of the mountains, each of the 5 points listed in the Mishnah, there are around 8 parcels in between. Kama Havalu, what was the total? So 8 times 4, because if there are 5 points, that means there are 4 spaces in between. So if each space is 8, 8 times 4 is a total of 32. So Kama Havalu, Tlasin V'Tartin, 32 parcels was the total from point A to point, whatever, B, the other end, point 1 to point 5. All 5 mountains was a total of 32 parcels across. But now we know where these locations are, and it's much more than 32 parcels to get from starting point to the end point. So Amar Abai says that's because istatume istatim lehudarche, because they had closed off the roads, and it's not straight paths to get there, and therefore since you have to go this way and that way, and turn this way and turn that way, and it's going to be much longer together. Lachen hinini sach es darkeich basirim. I blocked your pathways with thorn bushes. And others say Rav Nachman and Bar Yitzchak brings another pasuk Amar Mehacha from the following pasuk. It says Dichsev Nisivosai Iva. My paths I made a twist, and therefore it takes much longer to get there. But if you take a straight path, it actually is apparently a total of 32 parcels. So now the new Mishnah tells us here on Amud Beis. There's a Chasid Gadol. There's a large courtyard in which Haisa Yushalayim that was situated in Yushalayim U Beis Yazik Haisa Nikri. So it's called Beis Yazik. We'll see the lashon of Beis Yazik in just a moment. Ulisham, Kola Adam and Wisconsin, everyone would go there. All the Adam would see the new moon would go to this Chatzir Gadol in Yerushalayim to testify. U based in Botkin al Sam Sham, and that's where Bezin would inspect them, would test them. Vesudos Gadolos Osim Lahem, they would make large meals, large feasts. Everyone should be interested in coming. Bishushi Ragilim Lavo, so they should come regularly. They shouldn't come to an empty, cold place. You want it to be warm and comforting to them. So they provide a lot of food to encourage them to come next month if they saw the moon. So Berishona initially, if they came on Shabbos, they were stuck. Because since they had to leave their tchum from wherever they came from, they're allowed to leave the tchum, he said. But once you get to the final destination, they're stuck there. And all they can walk is Dal Amos. That's it. They're stuck. They're in chains, if you will. But then, Hiskin Rabbi Gamliel made a takana, Hazakin, Shehu Hamahalchin Alpaim Amal Lucharuach. No, we didn't want them to feel stuck and chained in. So if they made it here, we gave them a heter to walk 2,000 Amos in every direction from this Chatzar Gedola. Not only people testifying, the Edom testifying for the new moon, even if a doctor came from a faraway city to help someone deliver a baby, we didn't want him to feel stuck even though he left the Tchum. A special heter we gave for such a person to be able to travel 2,000 amos in every ruach, because if we did not give them that heter, maybe the doctor wouldn't come in the first place. Maybe the Edom wouldn't come in the first place. So they had to build in the special heter for both the Edom and the doctor. If a fire department comes to save from a nearby city and they walk outside the Tchum, they too get 2,000 amos in their final destination. Umina guys, if they're coming to save from some bandits, or mina naras, or some flooding of the river, or mina bapolos, or there's some terrible accident that some building fell. Hare elu kan she'ir, all these individuals who came to do wonderful things of saving people and doing mitzvahs, they are considered like the people of the city, even though they weren't, but they're considered like those of the city. V'yeshem alpaim l'charuch, they have 2,000 amos from every direction outside the city. So Gemara asks the question now, Ibarilu, base Yazik Tanan or base Yazik Tanan? With an ayin or without an ayin in the Mishnah, what's the difference? What's the nafkamina? Base Yazik Tanan, Lishnam Al Yehu, which is a positive term, It means to close off. They closed off and they removed the stones. They protected the vineyard, which is a place of comfort. Being inside a person's house, his rishus yachid, his home, is a comfortable place. So that's a positive term, vayazik, with an ayin. Otima base yazik without the ayin tnan lishad tzarhu. It's a painful term, dichseva, who aser bazik, and he's tied up in chains. In other words, when they came to the Chasuk Dol, was that viewed as they're stuck inside? Was that before the Takana of Rabbi Gamliel? Was that because they felt stuck in chain? They couldn't walk down more than down almost. It was like yazik with an iron? Or no, at least there's a Mishnah Gadola, and they felt like they were at home, and it was considered positive. So Gemara, it says, Amar Abaye Tashma, Sudos Gadolos Hayu Osenhem Sham, Kadeshi Ragin Lavo, and they made a big feast for them, so it was comfortable, and therefore must be Yazik with an ayin, which is Lashon Ma'alyu. And the Gemara says, how do you know? Duma Tartiyav Avdube. Maybe they're both relevant. In other words, I mean, they're both relevant here. So in that, the two things are implied, that it's both Tsar, on one hand, that they were stuck for Dalat Amos and Dalat Amos, but it was Lashon Ma'alya. It was also it was comforting to them. It was a place of warmth because they had a big Suda. So maybe both terms are really acceptable. And the Gemara does not have a conclusion which is the right way. So now the new Mishnah tells us, Ketad Bodkin Sa Edom. How do you inspect the Edom? So Zug Sheba Rishon Bodkin Sa Rishon. The first pair that comes, you inspect him, you test him, you ask him questions. Umachnisin Sa Gadol Shebhen, the elder one, you bring him first. You say to him, Emor Ketzad Risa Talavana, tell me, how did you see the moon? Where was it? This and that. We ask him, Lefnei Chama or La'acher Chama, before the sun or after the sun. Now, the way it works, I'll say the Rashi outside. Rashi explains, he at least explains from the perspective of Eretz Yisrael. So we know the sun always comes from the east, and it lands in the west. And depending where you are relative to the equator, he goes on to explain, so Eretz Yisrael, which is north of the equator, that means the sun is south of Eretz Yisrael. So the perspective is, it comes up in the east, and it goes to the south, and goes back northern to the west. That's the path it takes. East, south, and the tip. Then at midday, noon, it's the southernmost part of the sky. Then it starts going back north, then and to the west. That's the path it takes. So now the moon always follows the sun. So this question here was not really a fair question. They're trying to trick the Edom. The Edom, if they were to say they saw the moon in front of the sun on that path, that's impossible. They're certainly wrong. So the first question here is, did you see Lefnei Achama? Did you see the moon before the sun? Or La'achar Chama, or after the sun? Did you see Letzfona? Did you see the moon more north of the sun? Or La'drama? Or did you see it more south? So in this case, if the moon is always following the sun, so when the sun begins to go back northwest, the moon must be south of the sun. So if he said they saw the moon more north of the sun, that means that he was lying as well. So the Gemara is going to point out those are the same questions. Of Lefnei Chama, before the Chama means it was more south. La'achar Chama means it was more north. So the Gemara says those seem to be the same questions. The Gemara is going to say they're actually two separate questions. So then the Gemara Mishnah says further, Kama haya gavoa, how high was the moon? La'ayin haya nota, to which direction was it tilting towards? V'kama haya rachav, how wide was the moon? Im amar lefnei Chama, if he said he saw the moon before the sun, on the path in front of the sun, lo amar klum, we don't trust him, he's a liar. And then after we inspect him, v'achakach hayu machnisin es hasheni, after asking all the questions to the first person, then we bring in the second aide by himself. We ask him his questions. Ubotkin, also then we inspect him. Im nimsu devrem mechuvanim, if we find out that their words align with each other, edusin kayemes, their edus is acceptable, and we declare the new month. Vishar kalazugos, after we've accepted the first one, all the other pairs we have to also show, and also Rashi Dvarim, we ask them basic questions. We don't ask such details because we don't need them anymore. We've already established the edus is good, but lo shayut tzrichalem, we don't need their edus anymore. They shouldn't walk out with their heads down, upset that I slept all the way here. They didn't even need me. I'm not going to come next time. We want them to come and feel comfortable. We want them to feel engaged. So again, we don't ask them the full thorough question that we asked the first Edom. We ask them some questions so they shouldn't feel so bad that they slept all the way here for nothing. So the Gemara now says, wait a second. We said before, if you saw the sun before the moon, in front of the sun, that means you saw the moon more north of the sun. That's the same question. And Hainu Lachar Chama, Hainu Ladrom, if you saw the moon after the sun, which is correct, that means you saw it more south. So these are the same questions. So Amar Abaye says, no. Pigimasa Lifnei Chama Olachar Chama. The Pigima, what's the Pigima? We know the sun has looks like a little sickle. So what direction is it facing? So is it facing the sun like that, the Pigima, the emptiness, the dark side facing the sun? or that way the dark side is away from the sun? That's the question. So the Gemara says, not about if it's before the sun, it's the pegima, is the dark part of the moon facing the sun or not facing the sun? And Imam Malafnecham, if he says that the dark side, the pegima, is facing the sun, Lora Klum, of course, he's lying. That can't be the case because the sun can never see the dark side of the moon. The sun reflects off the moon. So from the sun's perspective, it always sees a bright moon. It can never see the other side of it. So if he says the dark side is facing the sun, he's certainly lying. And the Gemara says, it's always interesting, even though that was obviously intuitive to us and makes sense, the Gemara always feels the need to bring in a pasuk to prove these scientific points. So Gemara says, the Amr of Yochanan, my dichse, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Hamshel v'fachad imo, that ruling and fear will be with him, Ose shalom b'mromav, he's going to make peace in his marom, up in the Shemayim. Me'olam, that means is me'olam l'ra'osa chama pigimasa shalavanu. Never did the sun see the pigima, the darkness of the moon. It's impossible. Lo pigimasa shakash, nor can see the pigimasa, which they call the concavity of the rainbow. Can't see that either. Why not? So what it means is the way the rainbow works, the sun can never see this part of the rainbow, the curve. It can never see the top of the arch. Only sees the part of the inside of the arch. Why not? So Gemara explains that pigimasa shilavana the chal shadaita. The sun can never see the inside of the moon because then it looks like the darkness. It looks like the weakness of the moon. We don't need the sun to see that. They had their fight. They had their debate. Akash Baruch Hu dealt with it. Let the sun only see the positive side of the moon, which is a big chizik, of course. It only sees the bright part of the sun. That's an excellent musr. And pigimasa shel keshes, it should also not see the arch of the rainbow. Why not? Of the achama, so people who serve the sun shouldn't claim gire kamishadi, the throwing arrows. What that means is, if the sun were to see the arch of the rainbow that way, it looks like they're shooting arrows from the bow and arrow. And they're going to say, oh, you see, the sun who controls the world is shooting arrows out of the nation, which of course is not the case, but we don't want them to even have such a taina. So if you look at Rashi on the top of Chav Dalet, gire kamishadi, they're going to claim that those who worship the sun, Hachama Hazos, this sun is Chitim Hiyora Lihilachem Bekofrim. It's shooting arrows at those who are denying its control of the world. Shayora Bekeshes Nosim Pigimas Akeshes Latzad Panav. That was the understanding. That's why the sun can never see that side of the moon, nor that side of the rainbow. So let's quickly recap what we did say. Today was a quick dafa. I thought it would be much harder and slower than it went. But we start talking about the Lashon of Masus, which is Lashon of lighting fires, based on the Pasuk by David. Then we discussed how they only light the Masos when it came to the Chasser month, but not a Mali month, based on the confusion of Matzei Shabbos and Erev Shabbos and all that. And then we discussed the different types of cedar trees. Some hold there are only four types. Others hold there are really 10 types of cedar trees. And then we discussed that Pasuk, that there's a big ship that can't pass through that water that emerges from the Kodesh Kodashim. And we discussed how this boat would have sand in order to bring up the coral reef from the bottom of the ocean, which had a lot of value, or perhaps the pearls, the different three big ports in the world at the time. And then the quote of the Pasuk, that every wood, every tree that was taken by the Nachim, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to return and replant. Then we discuss those who learn but don't teach is like a hadas in the midbar. Then we said, no, those who learn and do teach where there's no Talmud Chacham is like a valuable hadas found in the midbar that's worth much more because there's nothing else other than the hadas. We discuss the various locations of the mountains, the distance between all of them, and then the mission about the Chatzik Gadol, where they all come for a big meal, the Lashon of the Beis Yazik with an ayin as a positive place, or without an ayin as a jail of some sort. Then finally, the mission of how they inspect the different people. They bring in the older one, and then the younger one. They ask, do you see before the sun, after the sun, north of the sun, south of the sun? And we figured out that one question was really whether they see the Pekima, whether they see the dark side of the moon, or they don't see the dark side of the moon. Everybody have a wonderful day.